to the 161st episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Well, I have my registered dietitian here on hand. She came down for the Sarasota, the first annual Sarasota Veg Fest. So welcome, Addie.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it was a great day in Southwest Florida yesterday. We took our Heartbeat Strong tent up to Sarasota and set up, and it was a fabulous event at the Sarasota Fairgrounds, and I was also one of the speakers.
Yeah, there are plenty of booths, just as many as there were at the last Veg Fest we were at. This is our third Veg Fest of the year, second to have a booth, and first for the doc to be a speaker. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we looked around, and you know, I was kind of curious, you know, how Sarasota would, you know, how many people would turn out, and what kind of booths. But there was a tremendous amount of interest and a tremendous variety of different vegan booths and events. And you know, there was a lot of very healthy plant-based food there. I was surprised. You know, in the past, a lot of vegan veg fests are, to bring awareness for animal rights and factory farming. And, you know, just like everything else, it attracts people that, you know, you kind of carnival food, so to speak, but vegan carnival food. But here I thought that there was a pretty good effort to do some healthy plant-based things. There was a sauerkraut tent looking at fermented foods and
a few kombucha tents.
Yeah, jackfruit and some fruit smoothies and different bowls.
Yeah, smoothie bowls, fruit bowls, a lot of whole coconuts, waters, and then a raw taco tent. There was just a pretty big variety.
We were right across from the kid zone, so it was very kid friendly, and I think that's really important to expose kids to early on to healthy eating, healthy living, and bring awareness. You know, they had the Greyhound Rescue, they had a couple different, Sea Shepherd was there with a booth, and they had an animal rescue where they went to places where there was a lot of animals on the street and rescued them and did a lot of fostering.
Mm-hmm. To other countries.
Yeah, they had done a lot of rescue of animals in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, when kids start to make that connection between, you know, the animals that are our companions and the animals that we eat not being the same, they start to raise questions and they ask their parents, and one thing leads to another, and good things happen. A lot of people that came by our tent, they were, of course, the majority of people we spoke to were vegan and plant-based, and most of the people, I would have to say, were more towards healthy plant-based. They had went plant-based first for their health. They came mm-hmm. by, you know, and then we obviously were probably selected because of our tent, but a lot of people had watched Forks Over Knives and had health issues that they were trying to turn around through plant-based nutrition. So it was very encouraging.
Yeah, done a lot of self-educating on the topic. And, you know, like you said, we're pretty food aware. And it wasn't more of the junk food and more towards the whole food plant-based.
Still a few things, you know, out. I mean, you know, When you look at processed drinks, there were a couple samples of different teas and things that, you know, were high in sugar. And, you know, people still, you know, you kind of let your guard down a little bit, I think, when you go to a fair or something and you, you know, may sort of lean towards junk food, especially if it's there in samples. There was one interesting encounter where two people were standing at the booth, and one guy asked to see the guy's yerba mate drink, and the first ingredient was sugar, and, you know, he kind of pointed that out to him. But again, then the same guy, you know, he was also tried to point out that he said that potatoes were bad in general, and so it kind of led to a discussion, because the first guy, Had went plant-based for his health, had read Dr. Esselstyn's Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease book, and had a pretty good handle, lost weight, got off his medications. He'd had coronary artery disease, and this guy was a little bit on the fringe as far as, you know, again, potatoes, and we kind of set him straight a little bit, you know, because obviously, you know, potatoes, you know, as Dr. McDougall said, you know, are the foundations of a lot of civilizations. You know, recently, if you've all listened to any of the Food Summit, Dr. Lee talked about, you know, some of the great health benefits of sweet potatoes with macular degeneration, decreasing vascularity, and purple potatoes, decreasing colon cancer recurrence. So, you know, and of course, potatoes have a complete profile of amino acids and vitamins and minerals. So if you had to, you could live just great on potatoes. So it's nothing to shy away from. You know, I know a lot of our diabetics, when they come to us, they said, oh, they've been told for years not to eat a potato, and especially a white potato. They're so afraid.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that along with grains and then fruit, I think it's not really the whole food, but what they become associated with in the standard American diet that you need to be wary of and you need to shy away from. So, you know, those potatoes are great, but when you start to load them with sour creams and cheeses and bacon bits and things of that nature, that's when they're not really the greatest choice. But again, if you go back to basics, get those whole foods in their natural identifiable forms, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, so that went good. And we were excited to see, and, you know, shout out to all of our members that came to support us, and they were wearing their Jamie Delaney My Heart Beats on Plant t-shirts. And it was really fun to see them see them in the audience as they talk and see them wandering around. You know, because many of them, I know even one that's probably only been plant-based for a month or so. And, you know, they were really enjoying seeing the other side of plant-based nutrition when it comes to, you know, animal rights and environmental issues.
And I think it was nice, too, for folks especially who are new to this or, you know, who are within our practice. I think, you know, if you're plant-based, you may, from, you know, depending on where you live in the area you're at, feel like it's a small group and you may not feel that, you know, you're the majority or you may not feel that the awareness is there. But I think it's really great to go to these events because, one, the positivity I think is huge. The atmosphere and the energy of all the events really that we've been to, the Veg Fest, the positivity has been overwhelming and it's been really great. But then, two, to see other people who are striving to better their health and become educated themselves, and then for advocacy. I think it's great to see that you're not alone and that there's a whole community out there and that this is growing.
Yeah, everybody that, you know, were our members that came to the tent, they were really excited to see so many other people. It's like being with your people and being with your clan. And, you know, we had a great time. I mean, from the start to the finish, our helpers were tied up this weekend, so it was a two-girl team getting everything set up, and thanks to, well, we'll give a shout out to Linda Albert, who sent some carrot cake cookies with us to give us samples, and we made some granola, but we got that tent up pretty quick and got our tablecloths and our booth set up, and we gave out some information about the practice. A lot of people come in to look. Everybody's looking for a plant-based doctor, and there aren't any plant-based doctors in Sarasota. And, you know, it's funny, people think that Port Charlotte is far away from Sarasota, but we were actually just a couple minutes from where Addie went to high school. And so we traveled that road, you know, every day, or at least Addie did for 4 years, and it's just not that far. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to tell people, it's like, we're just down the road a little bit, and they can come and see us and talk to us. And of course, we do a lot of things on the phone as well. And, you know, with our private website and our community and Facebook and the practice. So a lot of people are really excited about that.
No, definitely. I think the reach that we have, you know, isn't limited by location. And that was exciting for a lot of people to hear.
You know, Linda made the carrot cake cookies, and I believe we put them on the website from the last Veg Fest. But, you know, people were so surprised to taste a cookie you know, that is sweetened with fruit, pineapple and raisins.
They were delicious.
And yeah, we because we
very
were
very happy to have leftovers. Yeah, thank you, Linda.
We were happy. We didn't get out of the booth. I mean, once it started at 10 o'clock in the morning and there was a steady stream of people, and we left the booth for an hour and left Barbara, our director of the front office, to man the booth. And we went in and I spoke for an hour and came back, and there was a line at the tent. And so it was a steady stream till 4 o'clock, when the big clouds rolled in and started to rain a little bit.
Yeah. Now, other than that, we had beautiful weather. So very thankful, because it was supposed to get a little stormy earlier, but it was great. And I think the response for your talk too, that you had at one, was fantastic.
Yeah, again, you know, most people, when I show of hands who had seen Forks Over Knives, there was a big percentage of people that had seen Forks Over Knives. Not many, had read the book A Diet for a New America by John Robbins. That's, you know, what kind of got me on this path in the beginning. But it didn't have the general question at the end, you know, where do you get your protein? That was, everybody pretty much had that one. The biggest thing is that people are still kind of holding on to oil. And, you know, especially coconut oil is still out there, as far as it's been greatly marketed, you know, as being so health promoting. And people just still want to hang on to that a little bit.
I find it very interesting, too, how we separate the macronutrients with diet advertisement. You know, so that being fats, carbohydrates, and proteins, and how, you know, we really fixate on one. And, you know, what we tell our patients, you know, and what I really go over the majority of the time is creating balance for yourself and not pulling one of those components out of foods like oils, not pulling the fat out of the whole food, and, you know, reaching for the way that, you know, Mother Nature got it right the first time. So I do find that very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think our brains grew when we were able to press the oil out of avocados or walnuts and add them to our salad or start to roast vegetables in oil. You know, take for instance tonight, we had roasted sweet potatoes, and we basically just tossed those sweet potatoes in some garam masala and cinnamon and a little cayenne, and they were great. You know, did them on parchment paper so they didn't stick, good cleanup. And we had a tabbouleh salad with parsley, cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, and lemon juice, and jackfruit burgers. Did the jackfruit burgers kind of a crab cake style. And basically they just had oats, onions, garlic, diced up red pepper, and some Old Bay seasoning, and we got the garlic in there, and that was about it. So, I mean, it was a great dinner, and no processed oil, but everything had some, you know, nature adds the fat that we need, about 10%, in things like jackfruit, and, you know, even parsley has some omega-3 fatty acids. And the sweet potatoes have a little bit of fat in them. So just enough. You know, people ask about their brain. Doesn't your brain need fat? And I always like to, you know, go back to the Jack LaLanne, you know, can you pinch an inch? Because if we're wearing fat, our brain's going to find it somewhere. So I don't think we have to worry about, you know, where we're going to get our fat in our diet. There was also a question. A lady made a comment that she was told by her healthcare provider that she just could not metabolize glucose, so she needed to eat predominantly fat. And she asked me what I thought about that, and I basically said I just disagree. There's not much way in the way of comeback. You know, we all need glucose. Our muscles want to run on glucose. Our brain runs primarily on glucose. We can survive on ketone bodies in the starvation state, but nobody wants to stay there long. That's why they call it the starvation state. And, you know, people do water fast, and I think that water fasts have a place, and people become ketogenic when they're fasting for a short period of time, but it's not forever. It's a limited amount of time that helps reset the body, and then, you know, ideally you go back to a whole food plant-based diet, even in that aspect. And, you know, people will talk about the ketogenic diet and say, well, you know, there was a guy at the table. He said, well, my cholesterol went down and my glucose went down and I lost 70 pounds on a ketogenic diet and it's been great for me.
Improved A1C.
Right. But, you know, again, those are just biomarkers. Hemoglobin A1C is how much glucose is on your hemoglobin molecule. So if you're not taking in glucose, then obviously those biomarkers are going to go down. Your glucose will go down if you're taking in fat. Your hemoglobin A1C will eventually go down if you're not taking in any glucose and you're taking in a high fat diet. But it doesn't change the basis for why you have diabetes in the first place, and that the muscle cell is blocked. The uptake of glucose is blocked by fat in the muscle cell, and that really stays there. So as soon as someone goes off the ketogenic diet, they're right back where they were. And, you know, and it's very difficult to stay on that diet for long periods of time. And, you know, there's no long-term studies. You know, there's a low-carb diet studies that go out a couple of years, and people can lose some weight on them, but there's no demonstration of health benefits or reversal of disease in the long run. And, of course, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune diseases, you know, you need years and years of studies, like, to look at reversal of disease and long-term outcomes, not unlike Dr. Esselstyn, who showed, you know, 25 years later, people were doing well on a plant-based diet and reversal of coronary artery disease and through PET scans, through Dr. Ornish. So, you know, there's not that with a ketogenic diet. So, you know, encourage this person to eat a whole foods, you know, eat the color of the rainbow, high fiber, fruits and vegetables. And
not to mention the renal concerns, as well as, again, you know, we focus a lot on decreasing the inflammation that people are experiencing, because we know a big, you know, correlating factor with a lot of lifestyle diseases is being in a state of inflammation. So, you know, when you're taking out all those anti-inflammatory foods and you're focusing on, you know, a single macronutrient that can actually provide quite a bit of inflammation, especially if you're not doing it plant-based, you know, there's a high concern for that.
So, you know, it was just great to see all the people that had interest in plant-based nutrition, vegan lifestyle, and they wanted backup from, you know, with plant-based healthcare providers. You know, we kind of complete the package to have a registered dietitian in your pocket, have a doctor, you know, available that understands plant-based nutrition. So there was a lot of inquiry about that. And I think, you know, when people heard about the practice, they were anxious to kind of join that community as well. You know, it was nice to showcase some of our patients. Obviously, we didn't, you know, list anybody by names, but, you know, patients that we've had over the last 5 years that have, you know, had been taken care of by traditional, you know, cardiology and renal and, you know, traditional standard of medical care with blood pressure medicines and diabetic medicines and cholesterol medications, and then now adopting a plant-based diet. And it was really nice to showcase some of these people that got really healthy. Rheumatoid arthritis going away, psoriasis going away, getting numerous people off their insulin, you know, the peripheral vascular disease improving so people can walk again and start to exercise vigorously, autonomic neuropathy improving, you know, so that people can exercise and ride their bike and dance without, you know, having their blood pressure drop or heart rate. You know, this is all new stuff, you know, through plant-based nutrition. There's not a medicine out there that can do that. And, you know, people are anxious to be part of that community that can actually
give them hope.
Gives people hope at any age, you mm-hmm. know, at any age. You know, we talked about, you know, we have a person that's 92 years old in the practice that actually had improvement over creatinine just after a couple of weeks of adopting, you know, a very restrictive whole food plant-based diet, you know, with fruits and vegetables and oats and rice and steamed vegetable. Heart failure improved, kidney function improved. You know, several older people that have had improvement of their hemoglobins eating a plant-based diet. A lot of times people are worried that they're going to get anemic when they're on a plant-based diet. It's just not so, because our body absorbs just the right amount of iron from vegetables. so we don't accumulate iron, which can be toxic. We do want people to take a B12 supplement, but nutritional yeast and some of the nut milks also provide B12. So, you know, there's no reason to become anemic. And like I said, most people become much more healthy on a plant-based diet.
Yeah, I think overall, you just have to look at balance. And I think that's a simple concept to approach to people. And they're like, oh, it has to be more complicated than that. You know, there has to be, you know, a strict regimen with this. And I think, you know, that's my favorite part is education on what balanced nutrition looks like with the variety of foods that, you know, a whole food plant-based diet can provide. How many varieties of vegetables did you say that you heard quoted the other day, like 20,000?
20,000.
So the possibilities are endless, folks. There's no reason to be bored with your foods, your food choices, your meals, and how you're nourishing yourself and your family. So that's kind of my favorite part of the whole nutrition education process is bringing that to the table, because I think when people see that and they see how doable it is, it takes a lot of the fear of how complicated this can be and makes it pretty simple.
Yeah, so if you get the opportunity to go to a veg fest in your community, you know, jump on it so you can meet other people and see what's going on. And You're not alone. And, you know, if your community doesn't have one, perhaps maybe even think about starting one, because, you know, people are curious. You know, maybe plant curious, vegan curious to see what actually goes on. And, you know, it's just, again, it's a wonderful way to introduce it. I think when you start to look at, you know, even animal rescue, you know, with the greyhound rescues and the other, you know, animal adoption sites, it gets you thinking, you know, because, you know, there's nothing like a dog and they even have little ponies, but there's nothing like an animal to kind of start to make you aware of how we're all so related and how we can each make each other's lives better. And then it just kind of progresses from there.
Yeah, it gives everybody a little bit of a bigger purpose, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, you know, here in Florida, it's, again, I have to say it's my favorite time of the year because it's fruit season. And
me too. Good to be home.
Yeah, so, you know, this morning, papaya, watermelon.
Bananas.
Blueberries. You know, it's a giant fruit bowl. I encourage you. You know, again, I encourage everybody to get that big fruit bowl going. If you cut up a bunch of fruit and keep it in your refrigerator for a couple of days, you know, you can just get at it anytime you want.
I will say, too, fruit travels so well. I drive down from Atlanta. I pack myself a huge fruit salad with mango, banana, dragon fruit, some honeydew, watermelon, and it was perfect. I mean, you know, sometimes in the car, you just want to munch on something. Sometimes you get a sweet tooth or things like that for longer car rides. And that was a perfect way to, one, keep me hydrated while traveling. Two, you know, you can kind of get sedentary. So, you know, up your vitamins and nutrients that way, as well as fiber. And, you know, it was delicious. It was perfect. I wasn't craving anything else.
No, it's in the summertime. It's a great way to hydrate. And after, you know, a run, it's, you know, watermelon is a lot of antioxidants, vitamin C, throw the blueberries in there. So it's great after summertime workouts. So I encourage you to have, you know, a variety of fruits. Right now, looking on our counter, we have, and in the fridge, we have blueberries, watermelon, papaya.
Apples.
Mangoes. I got some new mangoes today. So you shouldn't have to wonder what kind of fruit, you know, you're going to eat. Have a variety. Blackberries are starting to come in season as well.
Strawberries.
Yeah, we have strawberries out there too. So that's good. So may have to have a little bit more later. So I'm getting ready to do this. Let's try season now.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. We got the Chattanooga Ironman coming up at the end of September, so that's what I'm starting to ramp up my training for. Actually, still a little bit in the recovery phase from the ultra. We just did a little run this morning, but my plan is to step up my weight training. So luckily, we both have access to a strength and conditioning coach.
Pretty good one.
Yeah, he's a pretty good one. Shout out to Nathan Meinrich. You know, one thing I learned from the ultra is that I need a lot more back and core strength and a lot more quad strength. And I really want to get at the bike ride. The Chattanooga bike ride is pretty hilly, and the run is hilly, very hilly, not near as hilly as what I've done, but I really want to be able to run it and tackle it and have a lot of strength. So, I'm going to add a lot of strength training to this regimen. So I hope to do that. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, for women, especially when women go to gyms, they give you 2 or 5 pound weights and, you know, it's 20 reps or something like that. But, you know, there's a lot of data for lifting heavy and, you know, really, really taxing your body and getting those muscles engaged, because when you're running, you're pounding. You know, you're pounding, you know, I don't know how many more times your body weight, especially if you're going up and down hills. So you really need to be, you know, I heard a good example the other day, so that if you're, you know, if you're using 5% of your muscle strength versus 10% of your muscle strength, you're going to be able to last a lot longer if you have, you know, again, gas in the tank for, you know, what's coming. That's pretty amazing. We've been on here for about 26 minutes and we've only heard one of our 3 German Shepherds sing so far.
Knock on wood. Mine is a talker.
But, yep, so that's, you know, swim, bike, run, weight train. And looking forward to that and heat acclimated the whole 9 yards. And then again, back to hydrating and recovering with fruits and vegetables. So what are you up to?
You know, I was, you know, after I finished rowing in school, I got more into half marathon training after we did our full. And I'm actually switching gears a little bit, adding in some more speed work with my runs. Running is my first love, but, you know, I have to listen to my strength coach, you know, my roomie, my mister. and he is right. It is so important to have that. So I am getting ready to get in the gym a little bit more, maybe even a few more days than running, actually. So getting a little bit out of my comfort zone, which I think is important to do. I think it's great to mix up your training. I think cross training is important. I think recovery time is important, you know, for mental and physical purposes. And then, you know, switching up what you're doing and challenging yourself. So I'm ready and excited to get back in the gym, you know, lifting some iron out there. You know, I got to start small, but we'll get there. But and then hopefully adding in some shorter races with a little more speed come the end of summer, beginning of fall.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a podcast, and I actually sent it to Nathan. You know, not that I need to send Nathan podcasts, but it's, you know, it's a way I can communicate with my favorite son-in-law. But they were talking about this woman did a 100-mile race on pretty low mileage for 100-mile training, but she did a lot of gym work and a lot of strength work. And she noted that, you know, she still had, you know, she felt really good. She bounded up the hills better. She recovered better. And I remember, you know, when Nathan, you know, we were actually at a rowing event, and because he does so much strength training, he just kind of went out and did a 10-mile run without much training, and it didn't really bother him any, because, you know, he's got so much strength involved, you know, that when he's running, he's using very little of his muscles.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really is a good thing to think about. And I think for older people, it's extremely important to really keep the muscles because of joints. You know, people come in, well, even, you know, I'll back it up down to 50 years of age, you know, which we'll call that young, since I have a couple patients that are in their hundreds. But, you know, that really have trouble doing a full squat and getting all the way and getting off the floor even. It's a little bit struggle. People avoid getting on the ground because they think their knees hurt, or they don't want to get up, or they bend over and start to move boxes if they're going north for the summer and they pull their back. And so I think it's really good for all age groups to focus on some strength training and to make sure that you're keeping those joints supported, your back supported by a good muscle.
Agreed. Not to mention, you know, like you said, bone health and you know, osteoporosis prevention, and now studies showing reversal as well, osteopenia. I'm decreasing your risk for that, you know, and you know, decreasing the decline of strength with age. That, again, same thing with, you know, all these lifestyle diseases that we've just kind of chalked up to, oh, you're just getting older. It all can be prevented, you know, so keep active, keep moving. You know, if you don't, the whole old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. It is true. So,
yeah,
we and even if you haven't done it before, your entire life, I always encourage people, you know, if you never played sports before and you are kind of intimidated by that, that is no problem. That does not mean you can't start. Everybody has to start from someplace.
And we'll give the example of our own Nunny.
Yes.
My mother. So my mom's always active, very active. You know, when I was growing up, she was the mom that was out there playing softball with us and, you know, taking part in
playing basketball, 5 foot tall
and jump rope and things like that. But, and she took up golf at relatively late in life. She was in her late 40s when she started golfing and became an avid golfer. But here in the last year and a half or 2 years, she started doing Zumba and at 85. And most recently, she started doing yoga.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a three-sport grandma in the house, you know, yoga, Zumba, and golf.
And we had a little bit of a squat challenge, just some air squats earlier in the house. And I got to tell you, folks, her form's pretty darn good.
Yep, and she can do a girl push-up, too. So she can get off the ground. So, you know, we...
Not a girl push-up. Shame on you. Modified.
A modified push-up. I'm sorry. A push-up from the knees. But she can get off the ground very easily, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
because she's kept it.
Yep. She's always, you know, kept it. And she watches her steps. She gets about 5,000 to 7,000 steps.
And movement matters.
So I would encourage y'all to do that, to get your steps in. At least 6,000, 7,000 to keep up with Grandma. And get those squats in and keep moving. So we're getting ready to start a new round of nutrition classes in the office. We're up to 3 classes a week. We have a level 1, which is our introductory class, where people learn the science behind plant-based nutrition. We go over diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and the mechanisms of reversing those things. And, of course, we do food demos and cook and taste every week. And we have one day where we go shopping together. And then level 2 and 3 are a progression of cooking techniques and, you know, more science. And we continue to build. And, you know, we tailor those classes to the people in the class. And obviously our members, they have access to all the classes. They could come to 3 a week if they wanted to for free. But anybody in the community can also take the classes, you know, as there's room. We have slots for about 24 people. In each of the classes. And I can't tell you, you know, it makes so much more progress in helping people get healthier in those classes than an individual office appointment. I mean, we hone things in and individualize and focus on our initial office visits that are about an hour and a half, but those classes really take it home when people learn to actually implement plant-based nutrition and have the community of other people in the classes. So that's really, really good. If you'd like to ask Addie or I a question, or you'd like a nutrition consult with Addie, we have all those available. You know, she can do a series of dietary consults. We have 2 online programs, the online 1 program she's in charge of, and then you have access to all our web material. And the online level 2, you can speak to both of us every month. And then if you're a full member, you get both of us as much as you want. So you get, you know, a good bit of medical expertise to help you on your journey to optimal health and wellness.
Yes, and speaking of expertise, you can look forward to the next podcast. We're going to do another What the Fork episode, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of the 2018 supplement fads, which is collagen. So we're going to try to answer some questions and educate the truth from what is false on all of that. And I think to close out today, I want to say, you know, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, as well as my very own boss mama. I get to be here, and little Vanna, Nunny, our our chief commander-in-chief. Her birthday is actually on Mother's Day again this year. She's double-dipping. But happy Mother's Day to you all, and I'm just very happy to be home with mine.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Hope you enjoy it. And
dog mamas, too. You all count.
Exactly. So enjoy your week. Enjoy Mother's Day. Enjoy the spring weather. Get out and move. And eat your plants.